Live and local on 92.3 FM Talk in Smith and Mason Valley, 99.1 FM Talk, and 99.1fmtalk.com.
Hello, friends. Welcome back. Welcome back. I'm John Potter. Phil is running the show from Carson City. We had a lot of crashes before, but just been a real flurry of terrible crashes, hit and runs. There was one a block from my house, the one on West Plum, a couple of days ago, and woke up to see another one on Rondell Way, and we also... incredible. And I'm looking right now, we have a crash at 395 northbound at the North McCarran exit. Also a bad one, an injury crash, 80 westbound at Verdi. Do you have any theories for this? Anybody, Phil? How about you? You're the guy who reports traffic during the afternoons, don't you?
I do. In the mornings and into the afternoons, and a lot of times it is speed. Quite frankly, it's people just driving too fast.
I mean, the more I hear about these, and by the way, I've been at a party every single day or night this week. I'm gripping my steering wheel hard, like I'm afraid to get on the highway right now after seeing all this on the news. What's out there and what people are doing. It's by the way, I changed my truck's GPS voice to male, but now it just keeps telling me it's around here somewhere. Keep driving.
Oh, boo, boo. My truck can't even spell GPS.
Okay. Local news here, and once again, folks, lines are, hey, maybe you have a theory about what's going on the roads here. 884-9910. Okay. Sparks Police Department did another retail theft crackdown, this one at Sparks Target and the Shields at Legends. I don't know if they call it Legends anymore. I lose track of these things being out of the news business. But, yeah, they were at Shields and Sparks Target this week. They identified four people they arrested in their latest shoplifting sting. I believe the first one was done at the Sparks Safeway store. Yeah, I talked about this local subject twice before. I really do hate being the shoplifting reporter of Northern Nevada, but no one, and I mean no one, talks about it, especially the stores. The stores don't want the bad publicity, and there's not much on the local news, you know, not on the crime itself. They'll either do a story about how students are not to blame or how the police, they're on top of it, but not the crime itself and how it's increased to a point where most everybody I know has witnessed it personally. Checkout clerks, to a person, give me the real deal when I ask them, like, you know, what happened to the carry baskets and is it everywhere here? And most say yes. And by the way, the carry baskets, they were all stolen. Of course, that's what shoplifters do. They take the carry basket and use it to make off with the things. And the stores, the employees, they can't do anything about it. You know, they the first time they told me this, I told them, I thought this was a big city thing. And the checkout clerk says, no, it's been happening here for months. Here's a comment on Reno Reddit. I worked retail for 2 years, and the criminal element flourished when nothing was done to stop people filling their arms and bags with goods, and they threatened staff and other customers too. Unquote. An employee can't even call police at one store I know. Maybe there's more than one store that can't call police, unless they are the ones. You have to be the person who witnessed them stuffing their bags. That's the policy at one place that I shop at. The current legal climate of, if you put a hand on me, I'll sue, has left stores incapable of responding to this. You can't put a burly guy at the door and have them stop people from taking stuff. If you use force against them, they're going to become millionaires when they sue you. And that's probably not an exaggeration. If you're working in a store, there are very strict guidelines on when you can get police involved and when you can't. They really just watch it happen. While the Christmas music is playing for the holiday spirit, I was told that some thieves even walk into a store with empty shopping bags, take clothes into the fitting room, and fill those bags with clothes. And where it's really bad, in, say, L.A. or Chicago, the thieves run the place. In big cities, the grocery stores all shut down in poor neighborhoods because people steal so much. And then the 99% of the poor community that did not steal from the stores are the victims because the store left. Shoplifting used to be a 14-year-old girl putting lipstick she didn't pay for in her purse and a stern and angry talk later at the house with her parents. Shoplifting now is the artery bleed of America's retail economy. The state of Nevada's position, since former Governor Sisolak raised the threshold for theft to be considered a felony, seems to be, we're looking the other way and ignoring this phenomenon. They are on the criminal side these days, protecting them and not us. And people working in retail, they can't look the other way. The big box stores are being robbed blind. Some of our drug stores and Walmarts look like fortresses where you can't get to merchandise. The selection is under lock and key. There's an aspect of entitlement going on, fueled by a lack of values and also a lack of laws and enforcement. There's no punishment. There's no consequence. A lot of it is how you were raised. In our home growing up, there was consequence with a capital C. A quick story here about my brother Pete, the felon of the family. Not really. My brother Pete, and I hope no one listening ever tells him, I don't think he's going to hear me talking about him because he lives in Florida now. But when he was 9 years old, Brother Pete stole a pack of bubble gum from this small, well, today they're called convenience stores. In the 60s, they were called variety stores. He took the gum from the rack and he walked out. And when we got home, my brother Dan told my mother, of course, and Mom took the gum out of his pocket. We're talking high drama here. And what she did say was, okay, Pete, come with me. Didn't wait for Dad to come home from work and take care of this. Mom said, we're going now. And she drove Pete, Danny, and me to that store. I know now it was also something she wanted me and Danny to witness and learn. So she asked for the store manager at the checkout counter. Store manager comes out. Mom says, apologize and hand that gum back. And Pete, who had all the swagger as a kid, meekly hands it over and quietly says, I'm sorry I stole this gum. Manager nodded his head. And looking back, it was in a way where he had been in this scene before. And that says something about how wrong, he said something about how wrong it is to steal and don't let me see you in here doing that again. And it was a quiet ride back home with three kids in the back seat thinking about what just happened. It had an impact, a big impact on us. And because my mother took the time to do that, it instilled in us this fear and respect for authority and that there are consequences. Like Beretta said, you do the crime, you do the time. And I feel that is kind of what the new generation needs, respect. But it's not just age. It's also micro-cultural. There are certain aspects of our larger society where the percentage of crime like this is far higher. And reaching these microcultures, saying this is not acceptable, trying to instill some form of shame and conscience will get you, don't do that. You're embarrassing them. It makes them feel bad. How do you teach values to individuals whose families and cultures will not teach that to them? And for the rest of our society, that theft makes shopping unsafe and unprofitable. And then all of a sudden, we don't have selection. We don't have affordability. And before you don't have stores. Because a theft, which goes directly to the bottom line, even worse, the stores are leaving retail staff to have to deal with the threats and the messes caused by these lowlifes. And it happens more than people think, from what I'm told and what I witnessed twice. I guess that's the main thing I want to get across. It happens more than people think. All right. That's the third time. From now on, shoplifting, off the table of topics. I just, it's just something that I think more people have to know about. 884-9910 is our phone number. It's open. We'll be back in a few minutes. I'm John Potter, live and local each and every Saturday morning, 9 to noon, on 99.1 to 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk Time, 1117.
On an Android? Get the app by typing in 99.1 FM Talk.
Online with the free app and on air at 99.1 and 92.3 FM.
11:20 is our time. Good morning. Welcome back. Welcome back. John Potter here, live and local each and every Saturday morning. I've been doing this entire radio show with the echo in my ears. Phil can't I can't figure it out, but I'm hearing in my ears two John Potters. Now, that's a nightmare, if you can imagine, for anybody.
Right? I thought it was to feed your ego.
So, Phil, I haven't been able to communicate with him too well because what Phil says, he's not double echo and I am. Anyway, Phil, time for me to ask you what interesting texts we have received this morning on the show.
Most of them involved gas prices at different locations around, especially in Yerington, when you were talking about that. The lowest gas prices, and this was confirmed by several people, that the lowest gas price in Yerington right now is $3.67 a gallon at the Texaco.
The Texaco, yes. Yeah, I did hear from somebody. I had a couple of friends in Yerington, so the internet was off on that. Let's run through what prices we have. And the reason I brought it up is you'll notice that oil prices are dropping big time. So here we have Reno, $4.19, lowest price at one place. From there, it's $4.24 a gallon and up. That sounds like a lot of that's a high price, it sounds like, but this is actually a price drop. Sparks, $4.25, the lowest price for regular. Carson City, $3.65 a gallon at the Carson City Costco, which doesn't sell diesel, darn it. And $3 after Costco, $3.65. It's $3.69 and up in Carson City. Now we get to Yerington.
Yes.
$3.67 a gallon. Yerington has become my favorite place to fill up on those long drives I like to take in Nevada. But the real question I have is, why do we have Hawthorne at $4.39 at two different places and $4.65 at two other places in Hawthorne? So Yerington, Hawthorne, not that far apart from each other, yet Yerington is $3.67 and Hawthorne is $4.39.
I'm wondering if those four gas stations in Hawthorne are just owned by two people or companies.
Well, the people I know in Hawthorne are convinced that it's some conspiracy. The gas station person that I talked to in Hawthorne said it's because of the distributor is in Utah, and the distributor is dictating what they should sell gas for. It's hard to believe that a distributor would order a independently owned gas station what their price should be. Is that legal, and is that done? I don't know.
I don't either.
But anyway, we all must do our part to help the planet. So this morning, Phil, I unplugged a row of electric cars at a charging station.
Good for you.
Because they cause pollution. They really do.
They're coal-powered. They're not electric. They're coal-powered.
Well said. Yes. Okay. What else was I going to get into? Anyway, okay. So what did the text say besides that one thing about Yerington?
That was pretty much most of it. Other people were commenting about my earlier rant about downtown Reno and how I got a little carried away. But I feel passionately about the state, and especially Reno. It is my home. Next year, I'll be on October 2nd, I'll be celebrating 30 years here in Nevada. That's the day I left California. Couldn't wait to get out of there. Didn't bring my politics with me. I take that back. Didn't bring California politics with me. I brought my own conservative values, and they have been transformed here in the Silver State. And I just hate to see Reno, downtown Reno, a slum. It should not be that way. It should be bustling with people.
Well, I'm glad you didn't walk through downtown Reno in the morning after Santa Crawl. Boy, a war zone.
On that one, I will give, I'll give half a pass because it was Santa Crawl. As long as I had it cleaned up by noon, I could live with that.
It was Santa, so it's okay, yeah.
Right. If it was Easter Bunny Crawl, I'd be climbing the walls.
The worst thing, I think Harris being empty and surrounded by a wire gate with the letters taken off, and you can see the shadows of the letters Harris on the big white Hulk with no work being done at all because it has stopped. It stopped for a couple of months. I try to watch all the Ask Joes I can. I don't know what the very latest is on that. I just saw Joe last night at a party.
A couple of my traffic spies work at City Hall, and they text me traffic tips all the time. And they tell me privately and confidentially that the company that is in charge of the Harris renovation flat went broke, and they have no more money to work on it. And we're looking at King's Inn 2.0 in downtown Reno right now.
Oh, gosh. Well,
but you didn't hear that from me.
Well, anyway, Joe is working hard on getting that Einstein Bagels open. I told him last night, I said, Joe, the Einstein Bagels is still closed, and I had a job lined up there. it's crazy. They put up a sign at Einstein Bagels, said it was going to open soon, but that was like 4 months ago. I like that place. I really did. And so what does it take to fix a roof at this place? It's been over a year.
Now, where is this Einstein's Bagels? Admittedly, I've never heard of it.
South McCarran and Kitsky.
South McCarran and Kitsky. Okay, way down there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, well, downtown, yes. We'll get into that next half hour. I would right now, but I'm just 3 minutes away from Fox News this morning. Otherwise, be careful on the road. I don't know why. There's been a flurry of crashes, and most of them are not good from what we see in the news. So I am, like, super careful driving now. I do the old driving school thing where I look both ways, even when the traffic light turns green out there. Tailgaters galore, red light runners. Never saw this stuff in the 70s and 80s, and I hate to sound Mr. Old Reno, but it's a fact. It's a sad fact for sure. Anything else, Phil?
Not at the moment. I'm still waiting on calls to come in, and I am still trying to figure out why you're hearing yourself in your headphones.
Oh, don't worry about it. It could be my brain.
Empty space
in
there.
It is weird, though. Like I said, what a nightmare. Two John Potters. Oh, my gosh. We are going to break for Fox News. It's a beautiful day out there. I hope you get out and enjoy the sunshine and how it looks out there. Just beautiful. And most of the leaves are still on the ground and counting days away from Christmas and hearing the Christmas songs on the radio. It's like I said earlier, you know, you appreciate the Christmas songs more as you get older. It takes you back to family time when the whole family, which usually most of them are not around anymore, we were all together at one time. All right, 884-9910, our number. Breaking for Fox News, 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. I'm John Potter, FM News Talk time, 1128. Welcome back, friends. Welcome back. I'm John Potter, the man who says believe in yourself, because if cauliflower can become pizza, you can do anything. I want to tell the folks who called earlier and wanted to talk about downtown Reno, call back. Yeah, we can talk about it now. 884-9910. Otherwise, open topic. Let's go to Peter calling from Virginia City. I believe this is about gas prices. Am I right, Peter? Good morning.
Well, two things. I think the cheapest diesel fuel price I've seen is over on USA Parkway, $3.57. I saw that the other day.
Whoa. Well,
yeah,
I'm all about diesel, my friend. Do you have any idea why in the past couple of years now diesel is more expensive than regular gas? Because I got this diesel truck because I thought it would save me some money, and now it's the opposite.
Well, it's supply and demand, I guess. There's more diesels out there, so they can jack the price up. I don't know.
That's what they want.
But, yeah, diesel always used to be cheaper. But, you know, I was just out in the desert shooting, and before I got out there, I thought I heard you talking about Wreaths Across America.
Yes, sir.
Are you familiar with that outfit?
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, when I was at Channel 2, I used to go out to Fallon or Fernley when they did the very big ceremonies at the veterans cemeteries there. And they're doing it in Reno at the cemetery near the university up there, Angel Way. And that is coming up in about 25 minutes. And this is the wreaths are supplied. They are trucked over, I guess, from New England. And what you do is there as a volunteer, you just being there as a volunteer, you place the wreath at the gravestone, you give a little hand salute and verbally address the soldier buried beneath and thank him for his or her service. And it kind of brings them back to life in the minds of many who have volunteered for this before. So if you're able to do by all means, stop on by. They do it every year and around the world. This is all over the U.S., by the way, not just in our area, Peter.
Well, I'm a little familiar with that outfit. They're in Columbia Falls, Maine. And I think the Worcester family, I think, is involved. A couple of years ago, if you got a second for a quick story.
Go ahead. All right. Well, wreaths across America, thousands of wreaths at some northern Nevada cemeteries. It's part of an annual event. And again, it's at noon in Reno, also noon in Fallon. And relatives, friends, and neighbors of the fallen are going to lay down more than 8,000 wreaths in northern Nevada today. So it's a huge thing. 2.7 million. Veterans wreaths on headstones of our nation's service members at over 3,700 locations. And the goal is to get a wreath on every single veteran's gravesite. And I guess we're kind of close to doing that from what Dave Perdue told us. He came by and spoke to us on behalf of Wreaths Across America. And I said this is a great thing because we have to be reminded a little bit more, not just on Veterans Day or Memorial Day, of the sacrifice that these fine kids gave this country. 11:37 is our time. Okay, let's go to Scott calling from Yarrington on those gas prices. Hey, Scott, I'm John. I appreciate your call.
Well, John, I've listened to you for quite a while, and I've listened to a couple of weeks of how low the gas prices here in Yarrington. Yarrington used to have the highest gas prices. And if you don't quit bragging about it, the county commissioner is going to say, we need to catch up with everybody else. And they pretty soon we're going to be even with everybody else, you know,
I couldn't keep it to myself, Scott. I was busting. I just had to tell people what a joy it is to stop in Yarrington and pay a little over $3.50 a gallon for diesel yet.
No, it's really great. You know, I mean, I fill up here before I go and try not to fill up anywhere else because it's really decent. And I wish I could take my motorhome out to every other place around Nevada because I love Nevada and have the same gas prices. And, you know, the problem with Mineral County or Hawthorne is it's Mineral County instead of Lyon County. And some of the Carson City prices are about the same as Yarrington's, you know.
Yeah, but it's such a huge difference. $1.50 a gallon for two communities, a difference, $1.50 difference. per gallon for two communities that are not that far apart from each other. I don't think, you know, usually I fall for that. Oh, it's the county and their tax and things. I don't know, though. It's just hard to believe. I'll have to research this more, but I don't think the county taxes are that different between Hawthorne and Yerington, but that's just me. You are, you live in Yerington. How are things going there lately?
Well, it's kind of warm and everything's great. You know, the farmers are done and everything's asleep and it's kind of like, wintertime here, but it's not winter. It's just nice and sunny and everything's great.
And may I say, they did a great job on the repaving of 95 alternate. Oh, what a joy that is. And you put up with a very long time of the flagmen cutting down one lane there and slowly making your way through that construction project. And the road right now looks great, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, it does. It's just beautiful.
Yeah. I
wish they could do that.
Yeah, I think your downtown is probably the most like Mayberry than any other downtown rural Nevada town in our state. There,
I grew up here, so I know how things are.
Yeah, it's a wonderful, wonderful town. I appreciate your call, Scott. Have a great day. Okay, we can talk about downtown Reno now if you want to call back on that, 884-9910. I'm John Potter. Going to take a break and one last segment of Live and Local we do every Saturday from 9 to noon right here at 99.1 FM Talk and 92.3 FM Talk. That's in Yerington, Smith and Mason Valley. FM News Talk Time, 1141.
On an iPhone? Get our app by typing in 99.1 FM Talk.
Hello, friends. Welcome back. Welcome back. John Potter and all phone lines open, 884-9910. Congress, we heard this on Fox News on the half hour, Congress has left the Capitol on another break. They took off on Thursday and they did not approve. They left without approving the compromise spending bill for Ukraine and our border. Biden wanted an extra $110 billion for Ukraine. And thus far, taxpayers in the U.S. have sent Ukraine $118 billion. Would like some controls on this because the government of Afghanistan, we got robbed blind over there. And so I would amend this bill by requesting that he have a certified audit done of all the monies the U.S. has sent to them already. We want to know where it went, what it was used for, and so forth, right? We should have learned our lesson in Afghanistan. And we should have been doing some auditing back then. And Ukraine, sadly, a corrupt government for 20 years. And I learned personally some of that by happenstance because I've been going to David Wally's hot spas in Genoa, Nevada since the 1970s. And somewhere around 2001, one of the several owners of David Wally's, there have been a few, during one period, they were selling lifetime memberships. And a large group of Russians and Ukrainians who had moved to Sacramento heard about it and signed up. And usually on weekends when they're not working, they get in a van and visit the mineral baths at David Wally's up at there in Genoa. And I enjoy meeting Ukrainians all the time there. They're always there on the weekends. And I've had some very good and fun, interesting conversations with them. And about 2 months ago, I was talking with one, and I would say he was in his mid-50s, and he was telling me he was from Ukraine, and he moved to Sacramento in 1998, now a U.S. citizen, works at a car dealership, and we get our bits and pieces from the news, and we never know what is fact and what's not, so I asked this gentleman what was going on in Ukraine with his family and so forth, and he shared with me two very sad stories about how his brother and his uncle were killed at their homes in front of their families by the Russians because they heard an accusation that they were feeding information to Ukrainian soldiers. And without any discussion about the Ukrainian government, I really thought, you know, I didn't want to ask about that because I have a thinking that I don't like to get in deep into politics and in nice social settings. which is why I also never bring up politics at parties anymore. But he volunteered and he told me the Ukrainian government is totally corrupt and the entire government needs to be changed out. And he went on to give me examples of how it's affecting the people of Ukraine. So it's always best to hear from somebody who has lived it, in this case, for the first 30 years of his life in Ukraine. And now he's in the United States. And it was very interesting and it was very sad. But that's the stuff I listen to now, not the stuff what the news channels choose to share with us on. So the Ukraine funding bill is not been approved yet. Let's go to the phones. Tony is calling from Reno. Oh, my gosh. Wreaths and gas prices both. Hey, Tony, I appreciate you calling.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate you taking my call. I was just coming back from Fernley, and, of course, I tried to call in, but the reception wasn't as best of all. So, anyway, I did get back into Sparks, Reno, and the gas prices out there are $3.29. So I just wanted to let you know that. And as far as the wreaths across America, it started, ceremony started at 9 o'clock this morning. And we had, I'm going to say, at least 2,500 people there. And I wanted to tell you that when the wreath is laid at the grave, you mention that individual's name, and that keeps their spirit alive in our hearts and the minds of the world. So that's kind of a quick gist of it. And if I may, I would like to introduce myself, Tony, but I'd like to talk about the Nevadans for Vets, who I and my wife started 7 years ago. At that time, there was 85 graves out there. Now there's over 13,000. And we put on a golf tournament for the Wreaths Across America at Arrow Creek here a year to raise money to donate to the Wreaths Across America in Fernley. And we reached our goal of 25% of what the needs are for this cemetery. And this last year, we decided to go a step further, which my wife and I talked about. And we had a Purple Heart dinner for all the Purple Heart recipients and guests. They were invited for free. And we're going to hold it again next year in August. And if anybody, those of a Purple Heart recipient, would like to join us, they can get a hold of NevadansForVets.org. At NEVADANS4Vets.org. And anybody that lives outside our area that's an hour away from our location, we will put them up for the evening. And that way, after the dinner is over, it's usually over by 8:30, 9 o'clock. We don't want anybody driving home over an hour away, so that's why we're inviting them to stay at the Atlantis with us. So just wanted to pass that on to you, sir.
Outstanding, Tony. You ran it through that website address pretty quick there. Give it again if you could.
Yes, sir. It's Nevadans, NEVADANS, number4vets.org.
You do you spell out the number part or just the number sign?
Just the letter four. Oh, excuse me, the number four. NevadansForVets.org.
Tony, that's a great thing, what you're doing. I salute you, and thank you for reminding us again the sacrifice that many Nevadans have made. Have a safe drive.
Yes, sir. And also, just to remind you, I happen to be a Bronze Star Purple Heart recipient, so... and I'm an honor guard at the cemetery in Fernley, so I'm a proud American.
You are, sir. Thank you. Appreciate it. Craig is off today. Phil, any more interesting texts called in on?
Unfortunately, no. Not one text. Okay. I hate to say that.
So back to downtown here. The city is spending $450,000 in grants to downtown property and business owners to make those exterior and interior improvements well needed as part of a new initiative to improve dilapidated and vacant buildings. This is where the money should go to, right? The city spends on city, right? Largest property on the list is the Calneva Casino on Virginia. And my thought is to... do not fix it up too much because it wouldn't be our Caldiva anymore, you know. I don't want to take the charm away.
What are the business owners downtown, aside from the Calneva, what are they going to do with that money? What?
I think it's mainly exterior. Some of the exteriors on some of these buildings are really in sad shape.
Are they going to put up some of those silly murals or something?
Fix up what Harrah's looks like right now, too. That's, of course, not included. These are businesses that are currently in operation.
And I'd like to see the old Waffle House do something across the street from the old Harrah's.
The old Waffle House?
Yeah, it used to be next to the,
used to be.
Yeah, down the old Nugget. It's been several things. It was a souvenir shop for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we need something downtown. Not just a tourist drop, but we need to clean it up. It is a shame what's going on down there.
Well, as I said, I don't want to sound like an old-timer, but downtown Reno used to be one of the great city downtowns in the West, in all of America, for many, many years. You know, downtown Reno was one of the 30 most picturesque downtowns in America. And I am from a small area in New York State. And as a kid, I knew what downtown Reno looked like because it was a showpiece. I mean, it was on all these postcards that people would send when they go traveling. And we would see the arch on TV shows and movies and magazines.
I've got about 250 of those postcards at home.
You do?
I do. I'm a postcard collector. I collect maps. I collect magazines about Reno. I am hardcore into Reno history. I really am.
That's an interesting thing. I have this thing about maps, old maps.
Mm-hmm.
I just there are stores set up for people like me who sell nothing but maps. Online maps and watches I have a real trouble not spending money on, but postcards, well, that's great, man. I don't know why they disappeared.
Cell phones, that's a big part of it. It is easier to send a picture of what's happening right this minute to your friend in Japan than it is to send a photograph from 5 years ago that would take a week to get there and cost money.
I was thinking the same way, except I remember postcards were pretty much non-existent even before the smartphones came out. And it just wasn't a thing.
Well, I've got them up through the 90s, personally. And my oldest one goes back to 1898.
Boy, you're going to reach an age where you're going to realize that you're surrounded by stuff. And
My Reno collection is cheaper than cats.
Oh, my cats. No, yeah, you're touche, my friend. The cats have constructed a prison of my own choosing. You can't travel when you have three cats at home. No hotel takes a cat. They take the dogs. I think it's very unfair, but they don't take the cats. The only possible solution is to get an RV or something like that. You can't even board them for more than 5 days, or they just have this separation anxiety. It changes them totally. I'll never do that anyway.
You mentioned RVs.
Yes.
That reminded me of a question I've been having for the past few months. Now, RVs are a wonderful thing, and they're also very expensive. Even the used ones cost five figures. With all due respect, how are the homeless people getting a hold of recreational vehicles?
Well, they're not in the best shape from the what I see. Mm-hmm. These are kind of junker RVs that stay in one location for as long as the city lets them.
Now, personally, I would love to have an RV, even if it's a fixer-upper. As long as it doesn't leak, I would be happy to fix it up. I want one, you know, so I can travel and not have to worry about motel fees and all that stuff. But used ones are, how can a homeless person afford one and not have a home? That's what I wonder.
I think it's probably the last possession they have after they sell everything else, and or they find one. I mean, an RV that is in terrible shape cannot be too expensive to purchase. But you gave me a great idea. We should have like a RV hour on the show and see if I can line up a guest talking about that. And where do you take the RV? Even the Walmarts are being picky about an RV being on their lot for more than a day, I hear.
Well, here in Reno, you can still take them to the Hilton. Excuse me, the GSR.
Oh, the GSR. Well, that's a paid RV lot, isn't it?
It is. I don't know what they charge, but yeah, it is.
Or are you talking about the parking lot?
No, they have an RV park.
Yes.
At the old Hilton. You can tell how long someone's been in this town by what they call that building.
And
I go back as far as Hilton.
RV parks and RV neighborhoods being picky and telling folks that if your RV is more than, what, 5 years old, it's not allowed.
Yeah, now that's garbage. That's not fair. I understand not wanting run-down junk vehicles, you know, in a RV park, but just because it was made in 2000 doesn't mean it's going to be necessarily run down or bad.
I know, and that's not even that long ago, actually, but I've heard some stories about people trying to find they own a very nice, in good shape, and they can't park it at any paid RV neighborhood, so...
That's stretching.
Anyway,
out.
We're out of time.
Yes, we are.
Very interesting talk. I'm John Potter, live and local. Be back again next Saturday morning, starting at 9. I think we're going to be heavy on Christmas on that show. We'll get into the best Christmas songs then. And as before, I'll tell you where all the restaurants are going to be open on Christmas Day. Pretty excited about it. It's, as I said, the older you get, the more you appreciate things like Christmas songs. Phil, thanks for filling in for Craig today. Folks, have yourself a great rest of the weekend. Talk to you next Saturday morning at 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk time, 11:58.